News Talk 790 KFYO, Tom Collins, Laura Mack. This is Lubbock's First News on the phone with us this morning. Congressman Randy Nagebauer. Randy, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Laura. How are you?
Good morning.
Doing pretty good. Hey, let's real quick talk about what's happening with the IRS deal and Lois Lerner.
Well, you know, Ms. Lerner came before Congress, you know, a couple of times, but, you know, would not testify. She kind of gave an opening statement, but then took the Fifth Amendment. And so I think what's going to happen this week is I think Congress is going to try to vote to hold Lois Lerner in contempt of Congress. You know, what we want Ms. Lerner to do is just tell us the truth. What happened? What was going on? Who knew what? And if Ms. Lerner has committed a crime, if she's afraid to testify, then why isn't the Justice Department, you know, pursuing that? So, you know, I think bottom line here, Tom, we're just trying to, you know, get the facts because I think American people are very concerned about the IRS targeting different organizations. They don't find that acceptable.
Well, I had a question. There had been talks about immunity and giving her immunity, and if you give her immunity, then she could say, well, I don't know anything. What's the argument there? I mean, is realistically speaking, what's going to come out of this? I mean, you know, if she just maintains the course and, you know, pleads the Fifth, I mean, isn't that her constitutional right?
Well, I think so, but I think there's, and again, I'm not a lawyer, Tom, so, but supposedly, you know, the way that that testimony went down where she, began to testify but then stopped testifying, I think there's a question whether she could invoke the Fifth after she, in fact, you know, made her opening statement. So I think that's what we're going to find out. I think one of the things that concerns me personally is that these people that work for the American taxpayers, the taxpayers are paying their salaries, and when Congress is doing its job of, you know, overseeing their activities, you know, I think the American people expect for those people to be accountable to Congress. I mean, that's the checks and balances that were put in our system here, and so I think what's at stake here is really the whole checks and balances of, you know, these people that work for the taxpayers, like when they are brought to Congress, that they should testify.
Yeah. All right, it's 7:41. Congressman Randy Nagebauer, if you'll hang with us, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Good morning. Right now, 7:49 with Tom Collins and Laura Mack. This is Lubbock's First News. Congressman Randy Nagebauer is on the line with us. Good morning, Congressman. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, wanted to throw something out there and ask you a question. This morning posted at about 2 a.m. in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Jamie Dupree had posted a story about U.S. House last week approving funding for the operations of Legislative Branch 2015. Lawmakers voted to freeze the House budget and to again block any pay raises for members, but they did not put the kibosh, or they rejected a plan to stop members from using office account money and automobile leases for cars and things like that. There are $38,440.20 a month in congressional auto leases, of which in the top 10 we have four people from Texas. And what's the deal with this? I mean, because I know you guys have expenses and like that. A lot of people are upset about it. You have two leases. One's $333.33, and the other one's $985.64.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for that question. Well, you know, one of the things that members get an allowance, and they run all of their office, hire all of their people, lease all their office space. And one of the things that I do is lease vehicles so that my employees can travel throughout the district. We've looked at both ways, both reimbursing them on a mileage basis or leasing the cars. Now, for a member like me that has 29,000 miles, 29 counties, we drive our vehicles a lot of miles. Some members can drive across their district in 30 minutes because they're in a very urban area. Our area is very spread out, and so it's more cost-effective when we ran the numbers for us to lease vehicles versus reimbursing on a per mile basis employees to use their car. The other thing is a lot of employees don't want to put 20,000, 25,000 miles a year on their personal automobile. So leasing is kind of the best alternative given all of those facts.
Well, I know the government rate for reimbursement hovers around 51, 52, and I've seen it peak as high as about 55 cents per mile. So I guess that's a savings. In this story, your actual leases of $1,318.97 per month are actually the top automobile lease, or the largest amount of money dedicated for automobile leases in Congress. Is that just because of the broad geographic area?
Well, I think two things. One is the House administration makes us lease vehicles, and we can only sign a two-year lease, and so the leasing companies penalize us for having a shorter term lease. Most people, the most leases that you go to get a car are 30 month, 36 month, 48 month, like that. And so we get penalized for the shorter term of the lease. The other thing too is that we, because of the fuel standards that the House administration puts on us, they make us lease these hybrid vehicles, which are very much more expensive vehicles to lease. And so the shorter term lease and having to lease more expensive type vehicles to meet the fuel standards basically drives the cost of those leases up.
Right. I take it that the vehicle that's leased for $985.64 is a large vehicle?
It is a kind of like a Tahoe, and it is, but it's hybrid. And so it's a more expensive car to lease. If I could lease that car over, say, 36 or 48 months, you know, it would be a much cheaper lease. But because of the way the rules of the House are, they make us lease those cars for a shorter period of time. So the leasing companies, unfortunately, penalize us for those shorter term leases.
Is that set up to be kind of concurrent with terms? I mean, not terms like as in financial terms, but like terms in office.
Of office, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So your lease is tied to your congressional term. Exactly.
Okay.
Changing the subject, I'd like to talk to you about the Waters of the U.S. rule. Both Democrats and Republicans have joined together against that rule. 219 members of Congress sent a letter to agencies asking them to withdraw the Waters of the U.S. rule. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, Lauren, one of the things that when you had the Clean Water Act first passed, it was to, you know, clean up and make sure that we weren't polluting the streams and lakes in the United States. And what has happened over the years is the court systems have interpreted what are waters of the United States to the point now where there's a ruling coming out that basically a stock tank on a rancher's ranch where he's watering his cattle could actually be treated as waters of the United States. And that's just gone way beyond what the original intent of that legislation is. It could be very onerous for a lot of these landowners to start having to get permits to, you know, for example, to clean their stock tank out.
What do you think is going to happen with that rule? Do you think they'll withdraw?
It'll be interesting to see, but I mean, that's a large number and it's a bipartisan, I think there's bipartisan support that's gone way too far. So, Laura, I'm hopeful that rule is withdrawn.
I'm right there with you on that. All I can say is sooner or later, there's going to be a video release, the EPA gone wild.
Well, it was supposed to be navigable waters. I mean, I believe it started out as navigable waters and really a stock tank? Or ditches?
Yeah. I mean, basically, a bar ditch in West Texas, you know, could fall under this rule. And we've heard from a lot of our ranchers, particularly you know, farmers, you know, very concerned about that because, particularly right now, in this drought conditions mm-hmm. that we're having, you know, water is a precious thing. And for the, and I think there's a little bit of concern here, Laura, that it's kind of a creep of the federal government kind of taking over water, jurisdiction over all water in the United States. And I think that's a concern that a lot of folks have.
Congressman, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it if you hang on for one more segment. We're going to be talking about, I think, the Select Committee coming up on Benghazi next. Right now, 7:52. Good morning. 7:57, Lubbock's First News. Tom Collins, Laura Mack, Congressman Randy Neugebauer. Good morning. Welcome back to the program. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm good.
All right. You know, a lot of attention now refocusing again on the Benghazi event with some of the emails that have surfaced and come out. I think got several people puckered up on this deal, and I think that the Select Committee that is about to be engaged in an investigation may be facing, I guess they were saying that the other side of the aisle, the Dems, may not be participating. What's the story on that?
Well, I think, again, back to what we were having a conversation a while ago about Lois Lerner. I mean, I think the American people expect us to do appropriate amount of oversight. We've finally had the subpoena of some documents from the White House after, you know, asking them to voluntarily bring that information forward. The testimony from some of the witnesses has been inconsistent, but emails don't tie back to some of the things that the administration has said. And I think what Speaker Boehner is saying is, you know, if we can't get the administration to cooperate with Congress, we're, you know, take this to a different level. And so I think this week the Speaker may appoint a select committee to intensify the investigation as to exactly what happened. Four people lost their life. It's a serious situation. And so we're going to see how that pans out. But I think it's appropriate if we appoint the select committee.
Yeah, but there have been four bipartisan investigations of this incident already. I mean, and seven congressional committees have already looked into it. So where do we end this?
Well, you know, Laura, I think when we feel like we've gotten the whole truth, and I think one of the things we feel like from this administration is in the recently these emails that just surfaced, why didn't they, you know, furnish those initially? So I think we're concerned that they're covering some things up.
Congressman, thanks for joining us this morning at 7:59. Hope you have a great day, Tom and Laura.